Good afternoon, everyone. It's my pleasure to welcome you on ČEZ's conference call to present first quarter 2008 results. I have Martin Roman, our chief Martin Novák, our chief financial officer, here with me, and Alan Svoboda, executive director, sales and trading. I'm now going to hand over to Martin Novák to start the presentation.
Thank you, Barbara. So, good afternoon, everybody. I'm going to present Martin Roman's piece that he presented today in the afternoon, in the morning, and I will also present my piece regarding financial data. So, first, I would like to say a few highlights of our quarter one results and guidance for 2008. So, as you see in our presentation, our EBITDA has increased versus first quarter 2007 to 27.2 billion Czech crowns, which is an increase of 5.5 billion. Our EBIT has increased by 33% to 21.7 billion, an increase of 5.4. Net income by 21% to 15.7 billion Czech crowns, or in the other words, increase of 2.7 billion. Return on equity increased from 15.4 to 23%. Our ČEZ price at Prague Stock Exchange and Warsaw Stock Exchange has reached, as of May the 12th, 1220 crowns. As of today, probably, hopefully after good news, it has moved by 5% to basically 1300 crowns level. ČEZ Group expects EBITDA for 2008 at 85.5 billion, which is a 14% year-on-year increase, and our net income of 46.6 billion, 9% year-on-year increase. I will talk more about those numbers next slide. So next slide shows us the graphs of our EBITDA, EBIT, and net income development, and also shows our estimate for 2008. Our estimate for 2008 remains unchanged, so we are showing same guidance as we shown in December. This is really too early to make any significant or fundamental changes to our estimates. Mainly what happened in the first quarter and what are key drivers of our results, that year-on-year 2007 versus estimate 2008, it is increased production in our nuclear and hydropower plants, optimization of repairs and maintenance costs, successful hedging both in price area but mainly in currency area, increase in wholesale electricity prices, very, very significant factor. When you look actually at 2007, you should not forget that we had a few extraordinary items, mainly change in estimate of uninvoiced electricity when we changed the technical grounds of calculating it. So for 2007, profit is a bit higher due to those items, therefore the increase between 2007 and 8 in net profit seems to be optically a little bit lower, but this is the main reason. Our share price, we talked about it already, so as you can see, we pretty much are above Bloomberg Utilities Index and PX, more or less tracking it, as we are a big part of PX index, and again today's price, share of the price ended at 1300 Czech crowns. Main events of quarter one, what were the big things? It is an Electric Institute award was received second year in a row, and as it is usually said, it may not be that difficult to win, but maybe much more difficult to win the second time. So we again received an award for the largest share price appreciation among companies with large market capitalization. Previous year, ČEZ was the first European utility to receive this award, actually. So we are very happy with that performance of our stock. On March 1, Czech Republic was hit by a strong windstorm, and electricity supply was disrupted to 925,000 our customers. However, within one day, we restored electricity supplies to 96% of customers and all of them within 100 days. Basically, all the damages that were caused by the storm were caused on the type of equipment that was fully insured or insured. So we really do not expect any significant or any really significant damage or impact on our earnings. Dividends increase by 100%. This is a good news. Our dividend for 2006 paid last year was 20 crowns per share. Now our dividend increases to 40 crowns, which is double last year's amount. And this perfectly in a line with our 50-60% payout ratio of net income payout ratio that we declared last December. That is more in line with other utilities that that do business in our region. At the same time, our share buyback was finalized on the 2nd of May, which is almost exactly a day from the moment we started our share buyback. We actually finished it and got nearly 10% of our stock. We got 10% of our stock. Then recently approved dividend target, you can see our payout again. So it is now 40 crowns, which is how much we pay, showing it to you on the graph. So next slide is about, I'm going to leave actually for Alan Svoboda a few slides that relate to our renewal of coal power plants, and he will comment on those. So I will jump in straight to slide 11, which is about acquisition process of CEZ Group. So you can see a few territories of our interest. The first one is Turkey, where we tender for construction of power plants at Afsin and Elbistan location. We are enrolled in a tender, and we still evaluate internally these possibilities. In Albania, we are looking at distribution of at the privatization of distribution company, and it's at the very early stage. We have expressed initial interest and still don't publish or don't have any details in place on timing, but we will be definitely interested in that territory. In Macedonia, tender was launched for construction of gas-fired power plant with installed capacity of 300 megawatt in Skopje. So again, we look at this opportunity as we do at most of the opportunities in our target region. Bosnia Herzegovina, Gatsko project is moving ahead. We are now going through valuation process and also through the process of obtaining at Rite Gatsko site, which is the company that owns the assets, all the titles, and legal documents proving ownership of all those assets, and it's approaching its final stage. Feasibility study is going on, actually, to evaluate or show us in more detail the technical details of what we would be doing and building. Slovakia, we continue working on feasibility study for construction and new power plant in cooperation with U.S. Steel Košice. In Romania, we are awaiting developments in process of construction of third and fourth unit of Cerná Voda nuclear power plant, where we were selected by Romanian government as one of the partners that should participate on this project. Now a few words about MOL. So project with MOL is developing, and as maybe you could as you could have heard, I think yesterday we got a clearance from Brussels that we are able to go ahead with JV with the project. So now the sentence that says after completion of notification process we will create JV. So now it has been already completed the notification process, so we can go ahead. We are setting up the organization structure of the company and all the processes, staffing it, So that's where we are, and it's really running now on full speed. So now I will switch to financial results. That is my domain. So let's look at slide 14, where we show in more detail actually the numbers for net income. So our net income has grown, as we said earlier, by 21% from 13 million to 13 billion Czech crowns to 15.7 billion Czech crowns. The orange number in the middle, 5.7 billion, is actually addition of the four bars that are on the left side, which is electricity sales, 5.4 billion, other revenues, positive contribution, 0.7 billion, CO2 allowances, negative contribution of 0.5, and fuel, 0.1, positive contribution. So this gives us a gross margin, and I will talk about it on further slides. Then other operating expenses, negative 200,000 impact, depreciation 200 million, depreciation 100 million, financial expenses income 1.8 billion, negative, and additional income tax that relates to higher profit is 0.9 billion Czech crowns. So key drivers is mainly improved generation mix, and this is very important message that is coming from the presentation. We have we have utilized our nuclear capacity much more compared to the previous quarter or first quarter 2007. It was basically, on the cost of coal power plants that were not run with the same intensity. Increase wholesale electricity prices was combined together with successful foreign exchange hedging, foreign exchange currency hedging, so our hedging of euro income towards Czech crown proved itself to be very have a positive impact. Of course, relatively strict cost control, as you will see again, and improved results of distribution and sales. These are the main key drivers. So on slide 15, let's have a look at gross margin details. You can see that our operating revenues went up by 10%, mainly driven by sales of electricity that has increased by 6%. And heat sales by 25%. Electricity derivatives contributed significantly as well. Our variable operating cost, on the other hand, went down by 8%, in fuel area by 2%, and purchases of power and related services by 14%. This is given mainly by the fact that despite the increase in generation to 18.8 terawatt hours, or 2% quarter on quarter, the improvement of generation mix, where we ran more nuclear power plants, and in more specific terms, we produced 24% more in nuclear versus first quarter 2007, and 11% less in coal-fired power plants versus the same period of last year. The fuel cost is fully reflecting that fact. At the same time, again, as I mentioned, increase in wholesale electricity prices and minimum impact of Czech crown appreciation that has been really strong in past few months. We also increased volume of electricity distributed to final customers, both in Central Europe and also Southeast Europe. Partly contribution of our foreign acquisitions was reduced by strengthening Czech crown, mainly in Romania. Czech crown has really appreciated towards Romanian RON, that was one of the negative impacts actually in our earnings. So that's I think it for gross margin. Let's move to selected operating cost. As you can see, it went up by 200 million or 3%. Mainly reflecting positive trend of CS being able to keep the cost under control. Salaries and wages have increased, but the increase was compensated by the decrease in number of employees. And number of employees was fairly significant, about 5%. So we decreased the number of employees by 1,500 people and got ourselves below 30,000 employees threshold to 29.5 thousand. operating, then growth in materials and supplies and other operating costs is fairly low and below inflation. Repairs and maintenance dropped down by about 6%. Depreciation is so it gets us to our EBITDA that is 27.2 billion, which is 5.5 billion higher compared to quarter one 2007, or 25% higher. Depreciation is pretty much in line with last year. And let's move to next slide, which shows us other expenses and income. Other expenses and income are fairly different from 2007. In 2007, combined figure was negative 89 million. This year, it is negative 1.8 billion. It's mainly coming from a few sources that you can notice. Interest on debt is a bit higher. However, we managed to repay last year our high interest bonds. And despite the fact that we increased our borrowing significantly, we still did not increase our interest on that debt in the same level. So that's a relatively good achievement. Nuclear provisions pretty much in line. This is really a function of our estimates of how much we will need for nuclear decommissioning. Interest income, we are now able, due to fully implemented cash pooling and also rising interest rates, we are able to manage our available cash or free cash in a better way, more efficient way, and therefore there is an increase. Big item, foreign exchange gains and losses and derivatives, it's almost 1 billion Czech crowns negative impact. This is mainly coming from our activities that are pure revaluation of our balances of receivables, for example. Big part of this is one side of the equation where we show a negative or positive impact in financial or in FX gains or losses line item. However, part of it is offset due to our hedging in our equity. So in our equity there is a positive effect of very similar size that will be put into our earnings over the years. This is kind of the basis of what we do in terms of our hedge accounting. CO2 allowances and derivatives change of 360 million Czech crowns. Them on the market values. The rest are very, very small items. Others here, half a billion positive in quarter one versus 57 this quarter. It is because we had a few sales of companies that were not really our core business, small companies, a year ago, and this is the effect that didn't come this year because it's already done. Income tax is a bit higher as a function of higher earnings, so we get to net income of 15.7 billion Czech crowns, which is 2.7 billion above quarter one last year, which is 21% higher. Segmental contribution, we'll go quickly through that. You can see contribution to EBITDA of ČEZ Group that in total is 27.2 billion. So generation and trading in Central Europe has contributed 21 billion Czech crowns, which is a year-on-year rise of 77%, given mainly by the mix of our generation assets and also higher power prices. Then distribution and sales is a bit lower compared to last year, but it is mainly driven by the fact that we changed the method of estimating our delivered electricity to customers. So in winter months now, we also reflect the fact that we have to buy some electricity and it may be more expensive than when we actually deliver from our own sources over the summer months. So it should really, really clear off during the year. Mining a bit lower, given mainly by the fact that we did not run our coal-fired plants too, so much as last year, mainly on expense of running more nuclear portfolio. Generation and trading Southeastern Europe in line. Distribution and sales Southeastern Europe 1 billion addition. That is actually due to the fact that there was an increase of for about 4% growth in volume of distributed electricity, and also better results and better distribution tariffs that we were able to achieve in Romania. Now we are coming to share buyback. I would assume that you'll be interested in how far we got. So our share buyback, acquiring 10%, is over. We finished at the beginning of May. We bought 58 million shares. We already had some on our balance sheet, so we now own almost 10%. Almost means 9.99%, something like this. And we used in total 67.3 billion Czech crowns for this share buyback, and we spent on average 1,158 crowns per share, which is 2% below volume weighted average price for the period of share buyback program. At a shareholder meeting, we will propose to cancel 54 million shares, which is basically everything but the amount of shares we need to keep to satisfy our stock option program. So this is, if I do quick calculation, something about 9%. Actual cancellation will take a few months because the shareholder meeting will make a decision, and then the board of directors will carry on the process that has a few legal steps that have to be taken and a few legal deadlines that cannot be shortened, and therefore it will take, the estimate is that it will take anything between 3 to 4 months. The longest period it could really take is 6 months, but we don't expect this would be the case. And we really cannot start any share buyback, new share buyback, before the shares are technically cancelled in the share register. According to Czech law, you really cannot own in any single moment more than 10% of your shares. So we really have to do the work and cancel the shares. When you look at the graphs and at the bottom, net financial debt to EBITDA has moved from 0.13 to 0.86. And as many of you know, our target is somewhere between 2 and 2.5 net debt to EBITDA. Earnings per share have moved significantly to 28.8 crowns per share. This is a function of net income being higher. And return on equity has moved from 15.4 to 23%. Being function of higher earnings, and of course by the fact that we are helping our capital structure through share buyback program. On slide number 20, we show a very simple balance sheet overview. You have a lot of information there, so I would cover just two most important items. One of them is in asset area. When you look at the yellow part that is called other non-current assets, there is a significant increase, and this is actually due to our acquisition of 7% of MOL stock that we acquired in early beginning of this year, so sometimes in January, I believe. So this is one of the changes. Otherwise, everything is pretty much in line. Working capital has increased slightly, mainly due to higher prices of electricity. When we look at the equity and liabilities part, you can see that quarter on quarter, our equity has not really changed too much, despite significant earnings growth for the period, plus first 3 months of this year. Year-on-year growth, but it is mainly given by the fact that we went through with our share buyback program, and therefore the equity is kept where it is. Otherwise, the only item that again can be seen is a drop in long-term liabilities, mainly due to repayment of our debt movements of the bonds out of this area. That's probably, I think, everything on balance sheet. Cash flow, last slide in financial section. Cash flow comparison of last year, we generated 17.8 billion Czech crowns and spent 8.5 on PP&E, having 9.3 available. This year we generated 21.9 and spent 24.2 plus 24.2 in total. That was actually additions to property, plant and equipment. That also includes investment into mall, and therefore we had to go ahead and borrow 2.3 billion, which again is in line with improving our capital structure. So this is all for me, and now I would hand over to Alan Svoboda, who would guide us through the section on our rebuild of our portfolio plus commercial matters.
All right. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Alan Svoboda, and I'll take you through these remaining sections. First, as usual, I'll update you on the development of the market and then some of the specific information that is relevant, we believe, for the current situation. On the demand side, you see that the quarterly comparison on year-on-year basis shows quite strong growth in demand, and that is before the weather adjustment, but also after the weather adjustment. If we account for unusual warm winter last year and also somehow abnormal situation this year, we still see a trend of 3.2% growth, and that is very much in line with also reported figures from other countries in the region, like Slovakia, Poland, or Hungary. In all these countries, we experience demand growth in the range of 2 to 4%, and that is also in line with strong GDP growth, despite the worries about recession in the U.S. You see in a segment split that this is sort of the same case for all segments, and the highest growing segment is the small enterprises segment, where the nominal growth is achieved even 9.4%. On the generation side, Martin already mentioned that the key message here is shift from coal-based production to nuclear. We announced already last year that we want to maximize our output from nukes, and we have achieved 24% growth this quarter. On the coal side, you see some decline. That is basically given by the fact that, number one, we are doing some renewal. The project Tushimice is underway, which has not been last year, so there is some capacity taken offline. And the second factor is that we are now again in the world of high CO2 prices, where we are actively optimizing for maximum margin. And so instead of running all the coal plants in baseload, in some plants it is more profitable to refrain from producing off-peaks, save the fuel and CO2, and participate in the sale of peaks. And in this strategy, we are actually achieving higher margin than purely providing base load. On the renewable side, you see increase in hydro, but that is just something that happened to us because of more rain. We take credit for the increase in biomass, which has gone up 120%, and reflects our strategy of stronger exposure to renewables. We also have some wind farms now under development, and generally we want to increase the share of renewable production in our fleet. On next slide, you see more details about the focus on increasing production from nukes. Last year and the years before, we more or less leveled at 26 terawatt hours. The target for this year is 28. That we had some unexpected shutdown in one of the units in Temelín in this quarter, we still see more than usual or more than planned reliability of the remaining units, and because of that we are comfortable achieving the target figure of 28 terawatt hours for 2008, and we are underway to meet the program targets in Dukovany and Temelín to have 31 terawatt hours by 2012. The most important factor that we are now carefully monitoring and adjusting our strategy to is the proposal of EU to significantly curtail the amount of CO2 credits issued for the third period, also to curtail imports of CERs from non-European countries, and to sell or to auction the credits instead of providing them at least partially for free. Now we see that this is an important policy change that is definitely aiming at reducing the overall emissions, basically incentivizing producers to switch from coal-based production to gas-based production. But we believe that full auctioning would unnecessarily further raise power prices and would make it difficult for the policymakers to get public support for such policies. So we still believe that there will be a debate in the EU before the final approval to what degree could the energy sector follow the other sectors where the auctioning is also introduced as a main method, but with gradual phase-in. And this is something that we will monitor carefully. Despite this, we see need to adjust to a more balanced portfolio so that we don't rely just on nuclear and coal, but we also have a third pillar on our fleet, and that is gas-based production. That's the reason why we consider the JV with MOL, which is successfully moving forward. We see it as a strategic project for us, basically entering the gas-based production. And we have approved two projects in the Czech Republic, and those are also underway to have capacity also at home. In fact, if I can now move back to the charts that Martin skipped, turning basically back to page 7, you see that our balance for the Czech Republic shows that for the time being we have some overcapacity, and probably we are the only country in the region which has that comfort and is exporting actively to the neighboring countries. But with the significant demand growth, you see that very soon we will also have no extra capacity left. And even if we assume maximum savings that the government is proposing, and we consider these proposals to be very, very aggressive and hard to reach, even if we assume that, then still by 2015, even if we assume all our projects that are now underway, we again run into negative balance. So that shows that, number one, there is room for further projects, including nuclear. Number two, you already see in the chart that we are rebalancing the projects underway from purely based on coal to projects sort of equally, more in a more balanced fashion, reflecting the need for a diversification. So we have both coal and gas, and obviously we focus on maximizing production from nukes in the short term. And we are still very carefully monitoring the situation in the Czech Republic in order to potentially initiate further construction of nuclear projects also in the Czech Republic. With regards to the projects underway, they are all in budget and in time. That's Tušimice 2, that's Ledvice, and we have in preparation Prunetov in Tušimice and Prunetov. These are basically renewal projects where we are keeping some of the facilities in place and just upgrading them, extending the lifetime for 25 years. In Ledvice, it's basically a replacement of the old units with totally new plant, which will be basically best in class in terms of efficiency and also provide therefore 40 years of active production. On slide 9, you see our overview of the gas-based projects. The biggest in the Czech Republic is in Počerady, where we want to build at least one unit, 440 megawatts by 2013. We have similar projects underway in northern Bohemia and Ušin, again, hopefully ready by 2014. And the two projects with MOL, where we shoot for the same time target, that is 2013-14. On top of that, we are now actively considering five other projects throughout the region, mainly in countries where we already have some operations, like Bulgaria, Romania, or Poland. And because CO2 is not the only issue, we also see pressure for reducing the other emissions, SOx, NOx, and dust. We have put on the next chart just an overview of what we are going to achieve in one of the most exposed regions of northern Bohemia, where most of our coal plants are based today. And you can see on the graphs that the emissions will significantly go down once we finish the renewals and the new project that will replace the capacity that will at some time reach the end of the life cycle. So with that, I pass the word back to the manager of the telco, and I believe we are all ready for questions.
Operator, can we take questions now, please?
If you do have a question at this time, press the number 1 on your telephone keypad. To cancel your question, press the hash or pound key. Once again, that's the number 1 to register and the hash or pound key to cancel. There will be a short silence while the questions are being registered. Our first question comes from Teresa Schumelda. Please go ahead with your question, announcing your company name and city location.
Hi, this is Taras Schumelda, American Century in New York City. Congratulations on a good set of numbers. My question is on electricity pricing in Germany. What are you seeing? I remember when during previous meetings you upgraded your 2008 price increase guidance a couple of times. Late in 07 you did that. So now that we are actually in 08, how do those expectations compare to what you're seeing in prices now? What is the absolute price level, and what do you think the potential upside to these prices for the remainder of the year and maybe even for 2009 is? Thank you.
Okay, I believe this is a question on me. We have said when prices were quite low in Germany that this is just a temporary dip and that the fundamentals support rather prices around 60 to 65 euros. That was based on much lower oil price estimate than what we see today. So with these oil prices, I see support for prices much closer to 70 than 65, and we still probably have not seen the full effect of the growth in fuel prices, because there is usually some delay in which this enters the forward market for power. Plus, the CO2 has gone up. That's usually immediately reflected, but the growth in CO2 prices, I believe, is not over, because it is possible to bank CO2 allowances from the second period or the third period, especially now that almost all utilities count on the fact that large portion of their credits will not be provided for free and they will have to purchase them. I believe they have strong incentive to buy credits already now and keep them for the third period when prices are expected to be at least on fundamental basis, if we consider the switching from coal-based production to gas-based production, it's supported at levels of around 40 euros per ton of CO2. So we might see prices of CO2 going up to levels much closer to this, and that would further shoot up power prices in Germany and the whole region. But it's difficult to make a very specific estimate. At least I can say I believe that we have reached a new level of 70 euros, and that's where prices will probably stay or grow further, but not go much below that level for the time being.
A follow-up question, if I may? Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. What was the German electricity price on average in Q2 07? And what was the average price in Q107 in Germany? In Q108. So Q108 and Q207.
Wow, that's quite difficult to remember. We're also talking about forward prices, so even for this period, a forward price can change over time. But if I take an annual gross, let's say at least sort of subjective view on how much prices have gone up, last year we have traded power for this year at levels of around 55 euros, more or less, for a large portion of the year. And now prices for 2009 have reached 70, even though if you kind of take the average over last 3 months, you would probably still see a figure of closer to 65. But at least from 55 to 65 is the jump that is more or less sort of clear that has happened.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Simon Flowers. Please go ahead with your question, announcing your company name and city location.
Yeah, good afternoon. Just a question about coal, please. I understood what Martin said about how coal production was down, and so there was a slight decline in fuel costs. And I think you'd also expect, as we saw, to see a slight drop in mining profitability. I think that's a correlation. But I'm interested in your coal costs other than lignite. Can you give some feel about how those costs are moving? I think you do have some hard coal production, and are the costs for those moving directionally in the same sort of line that we're seeing international coal prices? That's my first question. The second one is to do with just a point on the guidance. I think you mentioned in the guidance for 08 that's premised on quite a sharp fall in hydro, I beg your pardon, a rise in hydro production. But actually, your own forecasts in the March 2008 handout says you expect a drop in hydro production. It was 1.4 last year, and you're expecting 1 this year. Do you have enough visibility to say that you might get quite a bit more hydro out of the system in 2008 than you thought at the beginning of the year? Thank you.
Okay, I'll start with the first question on the coal-based production. We have a large portion of our plants, at least in the Czech Republic, are lignite-based, and we supply about 60% of our needs from our own mine that we own in the group, and 40% is purchased on the market on a long-term contract basis, where prices more or less move with inflation and also to some degree with power prices, but not to large extent. In our Czech fleet, we have one plant that is based on hard coal, which is Dětmarovice. This plant is now providing basically peak power, and the coal is supplied from Czech mines in the same region and partly from Polish mines across the border. The prices are reflecting the general global trends, but because it's coal that cannot be profitably taken to the harbor and participate in the global market, let's say it's moving directionally the same way, but it's not that steep growth in prices as you could derive from the commodity markets. We have also two hard coal plants in Poland, where I could basically repeat the same thing. Plus, one of the plants is actually hedged against this because it's based on PPA contract that has been now turned into a cash settlement contract. So we are basically fully hedged against growth in power prices. And the second plant is a merchant plant, which basically is also optimizing against CO2, coal price, and etc. And so it's now mainly focusing on producing combined heat and power and waiting for the Polish market to correct further to reflect full costs. Then we have one plant in Bulgaria, which is also hard coal based. the cold air comes from markets like Ukraine, Russia, or Vietnam. Again, reflecting trends in hard coal prices, but there the bigger issue we face there is basically still some limitation for market-based placing of the power, because if you would be able to access the market, it would reflect the coal prices, because prices there are around 65 to 70 euros, but we are still fighting with the local administration to be allowed to fully sort of utilize the production on market basis.
So net-net, I mean, there's really very little exposure to international coal prices.
There is no exposure that would sort of dramatically reduce our profitability, and there are some left upsides that we should realize once we have more open access to the liberalized markets in Poland and Bulgaria.
And, you know, I would comment on hydro now. You know, in our handout material or equity story that we give away during presentations, so obviously these are done, even though it's as March 2008, it is done earlier than in March 2008. And, you know, when we have, and we can really hardly predict how much snow there would be in the mountains, and thus how much water will be available for hydro. So as Alan said in his presentation, it is really something we don't give ourselves much credit for, because it is really a function of having more or less water. What we give ourselves a credit is having the equipment available when the water is there. You know, so we had a good start of this year, and you know, we will see how it turns out in hydro during following 9 months.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Tanya Marklos. Please go ahead with your question, announcing your company name and city location.
Yeah, good afternoon. It's Tanya Marklos from Morgan Stanley in London. And I have two questions. One is on power prices. If you could give us an update on your hedge position for 2009, how much power you have sold forward as of today and around at about what price level, and for 2010, if you already sold forward any. And the second question is on the political environment in Czech Republic. Are you concerned about facing any political pressure if the power price continues to rise to pass this price level on to end customers?
Well, to start with the second one, it was just a few days ago published new data from Eurostat that Czech Republic has the lowest tariffs in the whole Central European region, including the other central countries and Germany and Austria. This basically reflects the fact that we have the same wholesale price basis, but on the distribution tariffs, the Czech prices have the burden of much lower distribution and transmission fees and lower taxes of all kinds, so our customers still benefit from lower prices despite the equalization of the wholesale markets. And that is something, because it's structural, that is something that's going to remain going forward, I believe, for a long time. Because the economy is so strong, and the central bank just revised its figures for GDP growth for this year upwards by, I believe, more than 0.5%. I believe it's now 4.7, if I'm not mistaken. This reflects that the economy is quite strong and is not suffering from large inflation driven either by commodities or some other factors. In terms of prices and forward hedging, we have put in place a policy that is sort of forcing us to do some forward hedging, but in a very, let's say, limited way, so it still gives us big discretion to time our sales. The only sort of structural forward sale we did so far in large scale was the sale of the compound product, which was the two-year contract at the initiation of the Prague Energy Exchange. That basically represents about 30% of our volume for 2009, and it's already sold. Above that, we are now very slowly providing some further volume for our own generation to the market, but I would say we still have at least 50% of our position open for discretionary sales. For 2010, we are, let's say, locked in this volume less than 20%, I would say, for the time being. Rough figures, and actually I don't think I'm allowed to make them more precise, because this is also trading information that we need to keep a bit secret.
Okay, thank you.
Our last question comes from Bram Burring. Please go ahead with your question, announcing your company name and city location.
Hello, Bram Burring from Wood & Company in Prague. If I understood you right, you seem to say that the government's going to be pretty comfortable with more price growth on power. Given that, when do you think that Czech prices are able to converge with the German prices? Is that going to be already in 2009, or we may be looking at a little later?
Well, on the wholesale basis, if you compare data from PXE, the Prague Energy Exchange, and EX, what you find is that they basically trade with almost no spread since a few months ago. So when the exchange started, the spread was less than 2 euros, later on less than 1 euro. Now most of the time they trade basically on par. So if that's something what you call a full conversion, that basically happened. But I would feel comfortable even with a spread of 1-2 euros, because they just reflect some kind of a technical cost that is there, because the importers and exporters have to get hold of the adequate capacities. But it shows that there is no bottleneck on the cross-border trading in and out of Czech Republic, and this is a situation that I believe will continue, and we will therefore be a price taker of the regional prices rather than somebody that is able to influence them.
Okay, so the, let's say that 50% of your 09 power that you've already sold forward, you're selling for, what, roughly 65 euros per megawatt hour, which has been the price recently.
Yeah, for 2009 we have sold power already in summer last year. So that was done at prices of the compound, which for 2009 was at set at or traded usually at 57 euros.
Mm-hmm.
However, at a different exchange rate, and we hedge these euro sales. So if I assume then prevailing exchange rate, in fact, this power was sold at around 60-61 euros. So still not bad result, given that it's already more than 1 year old trade, and large portion of the remaining production is still flexible, and we will be gradually placing it on the market.
Okay, and you'll be placing it then at those current levels, 65,
sure.
70. Excellent. Thank you very
much. On prevailing market prices, whatever the market will do, but as I said at the beginning, I believe the growth in price is structural, driven by high fuel prices and potentially further growing CO2 prices. So this is not a spike, this is rather a reflection of structural changes in the fundamentals.
Thank you.
Operator, are there any more questions? We still have time to answer them.
There are no further questions.
Okay, then I would like to thank you everyone for joining the call. If some more questions come up, just do not hesitate to contact my IR. And thank you everyone for listening in. Bye-bye.
Thank you, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.